Our first reading is from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Come, let's shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saved us. Let's march into his presence, singing praises, lifting the rafters with our hymns. And why? Because God is the best, high king over all the gods. In one hand, he holds deep caves and caverns. In the other hand, grasps the high mountains. He made oceans. He owns it. His hand sculptured the earth. So come, let us worship. Bow before him, on your knees before God who made us. Oh yes, he's our God. And we're the people he pastures, the flock he feeds.
Surely every good gift does come from God. And one of the gifts that God has given to us is the ability to come before our God in prayer to express our joys, our concerns, our thanksgivings, and those things that keep us awake at night. And so today's prayer is going to be a participatory prayer. I'm going to make some suggestions that may move you to say something aloud where you are sitting this day. Would you join me now in a word of prayer? Gracious God, in this season of thanksgiving, we indeed are your thankful people. We have so many blessings in life, so many things for which we raise our hands to you and give thanks to your name. So God, as we gather this morning to worship you, hear us now as we lift up before you those things for which we give thanks.
My family, my mother's health, beautiful beach we live on, new relationship.
God, even as our hearts overflow with gratitude, we know that all is not right with the world in which we live. We know of wars and rumors of wars, of natural disasters, of things that cause us great concern for this world in which we live. So hear our prayers now, O God, for this world that you love. So many concerns for our world, O God, such large issues that confront us. And even as we pray for this world, we also pray for those in our circle of friendship and family and co-workers, those names of concern that we lift up now to you. Joanna. And so, O God, we come before you with the good gift that you have given to us, our lives, and the ability to live out our ministries as your people each day, every week, every month, every year. We thank you, O God, for this church, for its witness here in the Cocoa Beach community, for the ways in which our lives have been changed by this place. We ask your blessings now as we continue our worship of you together. All of our prayers, though spoken aloud and within the quiet of our hearts, we do offer to you, O God, this very day. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. The gospel lesson for this morning is from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, reading verses 20 through 26. In this lesson, we hear a little bit about the prayer life of Jesus. Hear this prayer that he prays. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me, because of them and their witness about me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. So they'll be as unified as we are, I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way that you have loved me. Here ends the reading from God's holy word. May he bless it to our lives and to our understanding. Sisters and brothers in Christ, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a joy to be back among you here at Cocoa Beach Community Church in this beautifully new configured space. It really is a beautiful new space that you now have, and it's great to see the fruits of your labors. I want to bring you greetings on behalf of the churches of the Florida Conference of the United Church of Christ. Your regional conference minister, Dr. Raymond Hargrove, sends his greetings. And in particular, I bring you greetings from the United Church of Christ in the Villages, where I preached last week. And with your permission, I will bring greetings to the Union Congregational Church in West Palm Beach, where I'll be preaching at 3 o'clock this afternoon, such is the life of your conference minister. Before I begin my sermon, I just have to thank Dr. Fred for this invitation to be among you. He did not know that he would have a wedding in his future coming up when he made this invitation to me, but I have to share with you something that's behind the pulpit. Probably very few of you have read this phrase. If you've read the phrase behind the pulpit, raise your hand. Oh, this is really good. Okay, I have to get down here to read it, but it says, "This is the only little storage space our minister has to bring what he needs for every Sunday. Trespassers will be severely punished by expecting them to preach next Sunday. Even when he's gone, his presence is among you." Would you join me now in a word of prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, come, touch my lips, touch our hearts, that we might hear your word proclaimed this day, O God, and in the hearing of that word, might we be moved to do your word. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Too few people know us. Too few of us even know our own history. Now, our churches are not as numerous as the Methodists. We do not require baptism by immersion like the Baptists. We do not dress early American like the Amish. Our name is not as old as Presbyterians. We have no uniforms like the Salvation Army. We have no historical namesake like the Lutherans. We have no bishops like the Episcopalians. But that doesn't mean that we should hide our heads like nobodies when someone asks us who we are. We are the United Church of Christ, who this past June celebrated our 54th birthday as a denomination. So as we approach Thanksgiving this week, I wanted to share with you the things that I'm thankful for about the United Church of Christ. And I'm going to do it somewhat David Letterman style, but with a little twist. Letterman, when you've seen his show and the top 10 things that he talks about, those seem to go in an ascending order from 10 to 1, and he always hopes that his first one is the funniest. Sometimes he gets it right. Well, this is the United Church of Christ, so we're not going to go in any hierarchical or ascending order, but we're going to do it more like a circle as I share with you the 10 things that I love about our church. So first, I want to say that I love our legacy and our history. Our forebears in the faith were involved in the church, but they were also involved in the world in which they lived. They hosted the Boston Tea Party at Old South Congregational Church in 1773. They hid the Liberty Bell beneath the floor in Zion Reformed Church in Allentown, Pennsylvania, when the British took Philadelphia in 1777. They established the first university in the New World when they founded Harvard in 1636. They began home missions early, as three of those from the Mayflower Pilgrims went immediately to work among the Native Americans. And by 1653 had published the Bible in Algonquin. In 1808, they began the first regular religious periodical in the world called the Gospel of Herald Liberty. They were the first to enter into foreign missions with the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions in 1810. We know for sure that they celebrated the first Thanksgiving. And we can only guess the influence that our Reformed and Evangelical churches had on the celebration of the end of the Civil War. At that end of that war, while people were out wondering what to do, our forebears went to work and founded over 500 schools and colleges for the newly freed people, now declared citizens. The support of the Mende captives of the Amistad Committee is a well-known part of our legacy. We are a church of many firsts. We ordained the first African-American, Lemuel Haynes, in Torrington, Connecticut in 1785, the first woman, Antoinette Brown, in 1853, and in 1972, we ordained the first openly gay pastor, William R. Johnson. Our history, friends, is an important part of who we are, and we would do well to remember it. Secondly, I love our belief that in God's realm, we are called to extend an extravagant welcome. The God is still speaking initiative has coined the phrase, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whatever the reason, We see this witness across our denomination in the way that we assemble our boards, our committees, in the way we try to do bottom-up theology, in the way we try sometimes clumsily to blend our worship traditions together. We believe in our collective soul that in God's realm there are no strangers. And if there is winnowing to be done, we are not the ones to do it. We are a church that believes that God and God alone is the judge. So our belief in affirming inclusiveness is seen in our mission commitments to become an open and affirming church, in striving to become a multiracial, multicultural church, in finding ways to make our churches accessible to all of God's people. We do not tolerate diversity. We celebrate it. That's a hallmark of the United Church of Christ. I believe that we think that God's voice is multivocal and that God's truth is not owned by a single individual. When we join in the ministry of the United Church of Christ, we have to commit ourselves to a multiple panorama of shades and colors and textures, not always the way of smoothness in monochromatic lenses. You can see this in the way that we do things in the United Church of Christ. In some denominations, the fathers speak. Literally, the fathers speak. And their words then become law. Not so in the United Church of Christ. We gather in groups, we listen to the way the Spirit is moving among us, and we produce materials and ideas that are weavings of dozens and dozens of people sitting at table together. Because we believe that the truth is multi-textured. And that the best that our finite selves can grasp the truth can be equipped by the conversation with others. We believe truth is not a single smooth cloth, but is rather a rugged tapestry. Why else would God have given us such a weaving of a variety of the different stories of God in the Bible? Not just one story, but a compilation of many stories. Fourth, I love that the United Church of Christ believes that God calls us to a faith that is simple, and yet it is infinitely complex. The simple part of our faith is summed up in the great commandment, the Shema. What would it look like if we loved God with our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength? And what would it look like if we loved our neighbors as ourselves? Love God, love neighbor. So simple. And yet we know how hard it is. It is complex because our faith is more complex than that. We know that you have to translate your faith into how you live your life. We know in the United Church of Christ that every local church makes its own decisions for itself, and yet we're bound together by a covenantal agreement that says we can do more together than we can do as a single local church. We believe in tradition, but we also believe in prophetic witness. These are paradoxes that we live with in the faith, and because of who we have been since 1957, I think we're well positioned to offer something to the world in which we live. Fifth, I love the tension that exists in the United Church of Christ between two words, autonomy and covenant. In the United Church of Christ, and those of you who have been in New England, I know some of you are here, we love our freedom, don't we? Freedom is translated as basically, don't tell us what to do, right? That's a typical, simple interpretation of what freedom is. And every local church in the United Church of Christ is free to call its own pastors. It's free to order its life together. There is no external body that can tell the Cocoa Beach Community Church what to do. We love that, don't we, about the United Church of Christ? It's right up there with Jesus is at the head of the church as one of those things that we cherish. And yet, at the same time, we know that we need to be in relationship with other churches of the United Church of Christ across this state, across this country, to make a difference. And we can do that. And we do that as a church. So alone, a single church can do some powerful things, and this church certainly does that. But together we can make a witness, a powerful witness to the world about who we are and how we understand God speaking in our time. Sixth, I love our passion for justice and reconciliation. To believe is to care. To care is to do. That's the old bumper sticker of the United Church of Christ. It was criticized by those who read it by saying that, well, it doesn't even have God's name in it. And yet those of us who know our passion for justice and reconciliation know that doesn't come from something we thought up, but rather it's completely permeates the scriptures and our understanding of what God wants us to do to make this world a better place. The United Church of Christ connects acting with caring, gratitude and giving, peace and justice, service and advocacy in a life of prayer. Seven, I love the fact that we proclaim that God is still speaking. In my 30 years of ordained ministry in the United Church of Christ, this Still Speaking initiative is one of the most important things our church has proclaimed. Now, the idea for God is Still Speaking came from a very unlikely source. It didn't come from a theologian sitting in a room somewhere in Germany dreaming it up, but rather it came from a comedian, the late Gracie Allen. She made her way to fame and fortune by portraying the scatterbrained partner to her husband and straight man, George Burns. Their most famous bit came at the end of every show when George instructed her, "Say goodnight, Gracie," to which she promptly responded, "Showing your age." In real life, Gracie Allen was an extraordinary, intelligent and sensitive woman. And her partnership with George Burns was legendary for the love that they shared and the equality which their relationship had created together. When Gracie died, George was devastated. George said he didn't know how he would be able to keep on living, much less perform on a stage without his partner. However, Gracie had left George a note before her death, and it was among the first things that George found as he began that painful task of sorting through a loved one's belongings. He opened a book up and discovered the note. The note said simply, "George, never place a period where God has placed a comma. Never place a period where God has placed a comma. God is still speaking. And we believe this in the United Church of Christ. Eight, I appreciate and love our commitment as a church to unity. The United Church of Christ was born out of a commitment to unity. When we were born in 1957, there were lots of things that could have kept us apart. I mean, we had people from the German evangelical and reform side of the church and the New England Congregationalist, and we did things differently. We called pastors differently. We believed different things. There were all kinds of reasons to keep us apart, but there was an impulse of that time for unity. And so our forebears said, there are many things that could divide us, but we need to be a united church of Christ. We need to demonstrate to the world a commitment to unity. This many years later, the question is, are we still committed to Christian unity? We talk almost every day about the things that divide us, don't we? You watch the news. You hear about all the things we disagree about. Who is speaking out and thinking about the things that keep us and hold us together as one? That's our legacy here as the United Church of Christ. And we have to renew our commitment to being one church. Nine, I love the opportunity we have for ministry here in Florida. There are 14,400 churches in Florida. Did you know that? We have 98. You know what we're listed in denominations as? Other. We have a witness to make here, in this state, in this community. I came from a conference where the United Church of Christ was the dominant religious voice. Clearly, we are not that on the religious landscape here in this state. And yet, I believe there is a hunger, friends, a deep spiritual thirst for people who are searching for a church like ours. A church that proclaims that God is still speaking. A church that proclaims that no matter, and mean it, who you are or where you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. A church that believes that God is not finished with the world, that there is more revelation. And a church that believes that we are called to make a difference in the communities where we find ourselves. We have an amazing opportunity as the United Church of Christ here in Florida. And lastly, I love the fact that the United Church of Christ, and I'm so thankful for this, is my home. The Dr. Seuss book, Oh, the Places You Will Go, is literally the story of my life in the United Church of Christ. I have covered the globe, the north, the south, the east, and the west, as a member of this beloved church. I have met some of the most amazing people, some of the most creative, faithful saints that I will ever know. My worldview is pure United Church of Christ. When I bleed red and black, the colors of the United Church of Christ. It is part of who I am. It has shaped and formed me as a person. I was called to this particular ministry here in Florida, believing this, that God wants to make a difference among those of us who are United Church of Christ here in the state of Florida. And so I'm blessed to be here and to be among you. I'm committed to serving the churches of this conference and finding ways for us to deepen our partnership with one another. I believe that a conference exists to help nurture the vitality of every local congregation, that we can be a witness for justice, for love, to speak out where speaking needs to happen in those places where injustice is rearing its ugly head here in the state. We need to be part of the cohort group that speaks out. We also need to find ways, and I know your church is doing that, to embrace the youth of our communities, to help them build a solid foundation so that they can know God's love and God's justice. And we can also, I believe, begin to start new churches where people are thirsting for a church like ours. So these are the 10 reasons that I'm thankful for the United Church of Christ. Thanks be to God this very day. Amen.